That gets you the 15. It wasn't inside the opening. This is the speedy man, Xavier Worthy, the fastest man to the end zone right away. His first touch, a Kansas City touchdown.
This song is called Shut Up by Blink-182.
Yes.
And to anyone that still thinks that an NFL general manager needs to worry about what another team is doing instead of trying to improve their own roster,
there's the door.
Shut up.
Oh, there we go.
Had to wait for the drop on that one. That was perfect. Evan knew exactly what I was doing there, and he turned it up. That's some producer stuff right there. That's how you read your host. Welcome back, hour number two of Sports Talk Saturday. Derek Kramer, Joe Calley here with you, and I have had it!
I think we both have. We were talking about this yesterday, and it's to the point now where, okay, in April at first, you say what you want, but even at that point, I was out on it. And here we are still.
Here we are revisiting this.
Mm-hmm. Use your aggressive feelings, boy.
Oh, Palpy, I will.
Let the hate flow through you.
Oh, Palpy, you have no idea the kind of hate that is in my body right now.
Do it.
Oh, I'm doing it. I will do it. And here's the thing. For those that have listened long enough, for better or for worse, you like me or you don't, you know that whatever I'm doing is from the heart. I'm an emotional, sometimes idiotic host that has a microphone for some reason. I'm grateful for it every week. So whatever you're going to get from me is not reactionary because it's going to drive in calls. It's not here to get people riled up. It's not like ESPN debate shows. I mean everything that I say.
Right.
For better or for worse, no matter what kind of trouble that gets me into or how dumb it makes me look. And I am sick of people worrying about a team that the Bills have happened to beat a couple of times now within the past few years. It's just a matter of when they lose to them. If you're worried, if a general manager is worried about what another team is doing, instead of solely focusing on improving their own team, that's not an NFL general manager.
You're right. I'm looking at the record.
That's not an NFL general manager. You know who's upset about that? Fans. Who are not general managers.
There's a reason for that.
There's a reason for it. Because your focus should always be on making your team better. Oh, but they always lose to Kansas City. They don't always lose to Kansas City. You know who they've always lost to so far in the past few years? Cincinnati.
Jacksonville
for some strange reason.
Yeah, right. I'm looking at the record right now. Since 2020, the Bills have won 3 and the Chiefs have won 4. Granted, divisional games, two of them.
Two of them in the year of 2020, the Bills were not ready.
Exactly.
They were beginning their progression.
Yep.
So ever since 2021, when the Bills were for real and they showed it.
They're 3-2.
It's just when they've lost.
That's the lingering thought, right? 13
and
seconds.
And when they've lost?
Wide right. This chunk.
And not to mention, when they've lost, they've been classics.
Yeah, it's not like they got stomped. The last time they got stomped by the Chiefs was the 2020 AFC Championship.
Correct.
And that's because, like you said, the Bills were just beginning their climb, right?
They were beginning the ascent. They were starting to show people, hey, we're here.
Yeah.
But we're not here yet. And that's okay.
Right. And the Chiefs were that team already. They had Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce. Those guys were there and playing well. Since then, you're on the winning side of that scale. But again, it's the timing of the wins, like you said, that stays with everyone. That's why everyone gets frustrated. But if you think an NFL GM has fan mentality and is thinking, oh, I got to screw the Chiefs out of this pick. I got to do something here. That's not what happens.
I got to take the player that the Chiefs are going to pick so that they don't pick them.
It's not a fantasy draft where you take someone's pick for trade value. Like, that's not what happens.
Right. Oh, and they did make a trade.
Yeah.
They got a third round pick out of this. If Dwayne Carter makes any one play, I'm going to become so insufferable to you people that it's going to be hilarious.
And here's the thing. Like Bruce said, like we said yesterday, prepping for this show,
Yeah, you and I talked extensively about this.
Even if the Bills didn't trade with them, they're still taking Keon Coleman where they're at, and the Chiefs are still ending up with Xavier Worthy at pick 32.
Yeah.
They moved up one pick. It's not going to change the face of the earth.
Yeah. You got a third-round pick to move down four spots.
Yes.
That's genius-level stuff.
Because
that's
you value. Didn't even have a third-round pick.
That's value.
Yes.
That's making your team better. And if the picks pan out, they pan out. If they don't pan out, they don't pan out. That's on another thing. That's drafting, developing. That's a different story. However, we're in this gotcha world at this point of sports media that, oh, no, the Bills let the Chiefs get Xavier Worthy. So did 27 other teams that passed on him. If he's so great, he should have been the first overall pick. Enough with this nonsense.
Here's the thing. He ran a 4-2-1.
Cool.
He was not. He was not going to be a first-round receiver until that happened.
Yeah.
He was not on any list. Some people had him, I've seen.
Right.
Zach Jones spoke highly of him.
But
big Texas fan.
He's a big Texas guy.
Right?
So we knew about him.
Right. But until that 4-2-1 happened, I didn't really see him in any conversation as a first-round wide receiver.
He was a fringe at that point.
Yes.
Fringe at best.
And where did they get him?
On the fringe. At the fringe of the first round.
What are we talking about?
So guess what? The Chiefs might have taken him anyway, even if he wasn't like supposed to be a caliber first-round receiver. It's because he ran that 4-2-1
right.
That it's a bigger deal to people now. And all I'm going to say is this. You guys are all trying to essentially dunk on the Bills. You're dunking on the team that you're trying to root for a guy who had three targets and one carry.
Mm-hmm.
And one of those targets, the Ravens legitimately forgot that they were playing one high safety. And that's a man coverage tactic. Marlon Humphrey just let Xavier Worthy wander off on the sideline by himself.
Yeah.
And the only player that could have screwed that up is Kadarius Toney, because he would have dropped the pass.
Yeah.
On the reverse, someone tweeted to me about next-gen stats saying there was a 5% chance of a touchdown on that play. Except, 1 second later, there are four Ravens already behind you based on play design. And there are seven Chiefs blockers in front of him.
Yeah. Yeah.
They outnumbered the Ravens 7-4 on that point.
Mm-hmm. If they didn't get that touchdown, that would have been a problem.
Every
actually.
Professional wide receiver would have scored that play.
Curtis Samuel, Khalil Shakir, any one of the Bills wide receivers would have scored. I'm sorry.
Ready? Let's put a sore spot on it. Diggs probably scores that too.
Because Gabe Davis scores. Cole Beasley scores. Any of those guys.
Because there's that many blockers
out
there. Yes,
you should score at a 7-4 advantage.
That's like,
if you don't, you have an offensive line and blocking issue.
That's a blocking scheme that happens that I wish would have happened like with any of like the Isaiah McKenzie plays.
Right, because he had speed.
He had that speed. So, yeah.
They're looking for their next Tyreek Hill, and they found it.
I brought in the compare of Isaiah McKenzie. Are we going to get upset about that? Because if so, I'm going to call it out anyway. I'm going to call everyone out on this. And while I do that, it's time to get connected to our fans. It's brought to you by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop online at northtownkia.com. Bruce and Derby, you waited patiently through the break. Thank you for doing so. Welcome to Sports Talk Saturday. We're in the trenches of the Worthy Wars.
Yeah. Hey, that whole comment you had about the GMs, couldn't have said it any better myself. None of us are GMs. We don't know what they know. So with that said, there's a reason why we didn't go after Worthy. I am 100% comfortable with the Keon Coleman pick. And my whole thing is availability. He's a big, thick dude. This Worthy guy, I want to see what happens after 5 or 6 games. Are they going to throw the ball across the middle to him? And is he going to get, like, trucked by a linebacker that weighs, you know, 80 pounds more than him? How is he going to hold up? I don't think very well. You know, it's not always about, you know, they always say speed kills. Yeah, but availability is everything, you know. I'm comfortable with the pick that we had with that guy. I did not want Worthy. He wasn't, like you said, on anybody's radar to go as a first-round draft pick as a wide receiver. And the other thing you just said, too, there's a handful, more than a handful of receivers that could have scored that touchdown on that whatever jet sweep play that they had. So, don't know. I'm happy with what Bean did. I think Coleman's going to be an asset, and I think he's going to be around probably a lot longer than this little guy. With that, I'll listen to your comments.
Bruce, thank you. Appreciate that.
And availability is the best ability. He's absolutely right.
And the thing is we don't know if Worthy is injury prone.
No.
There are going to be concerns about him going over the middle and taking a beating. And if there's any coach better at scheming that sort of thing, it'd be Andy Reid. However, one night a career does not make.
No.
And the Bills didn't even have a chance to let Coleman step onto the turf when we've got people, fans, and media members within our city saying, oh, you guys really let the Chiefs get Xavier Worthy.
Mind you, what quarterback was Keon Coleman playing with for 98% of the preseason?
Mitchell Trubisky.
Yes. And
who actively tried to kill him.
Yes.
Twice.
He played defense more than he played as a wide receiver in the preseason because he was breaking up passes that were about to be picked.
Also, if I do recall, during training camp, or at the beginning of training camp, Bills fans even got to take a little bit of a victory dance about Xavier Worthy when he got knocked around by two Chiefs players in training camp.
Mm-hmm.
It was a viral clip. The guy goes on a slant route, gets knocked over, gets back up, and the linebacker just forearm shivers him back to the ground.
Yeah.
Like, okay, you hit the weight room, kid. So we had our fun with that too. And now the guy makes two plays before Coleman even steps on the field. And it's the wrong decision? Because Marlon Humphrey forgot they were in cover one? Because they had great blocking where most pro receivers are going to score on that jet sweep?
It's ridiculous. I just... The whole pity party, well, we didn't get Xavier Worthy, really, really is like, are you watching? You've only seen Xavier Worthy in an NFL setting, right?
We haven't seen
Keon Coleman. You haven't seen Keon Coleman at all. He hasn't stepped on the field for a game time scenario outside of the preseason where they're not even running their playbook.
Exactly.
You don't even know how he's going to be utilized.
We saw Xavier Worthy in the first meaningful game. Can we wait until we see Keon Coleman in the first meaningful game?
And freak out if he drops a pass.
Or let alone what Bruce Nolan said to us in the last hour, can we get through a full season first? Can we not resort back to the same crappy commentary from April?
Mm-hmm.
Where I also lost my marbles and Sal had people in the media pool saying, who's hosting right now? Is he okay? No, I'm not. Evan was here sitting with me in this. I was losing my marbles about this because it's already too premature. And it's still too premature, even though Xavier Worthy played his first game. Guess who didn't?
Yeah.
The entirety of the Buffalo Bills.
And here's the thing. Here's the thing. The Chiefs have been looking for that speedy replacement for Tyreek Hill for a long time since he left, right?
Right. But they also could afford to lose him because they traded him.
Exactly. So he's a plus. I'm trying to keep my cool right now.
Nope.
So I'm
already gone.
So at the end of the day, Keon Coleman fits what this Bills offense is being built for right now. Do you see the size of the wide receivers, including him, compared to years past?
Yeah.
They're not looking for a little guy who's going to get arm shoved back to the ground. Truthfully.
Ready?
He ran a 4.6.
Let's look at the Bills' wide receiver core when they were heading into draft night.
Khalil.
What did they need? They needed an X receiver. What was Xavier Worthy's best fit going to be? Slot.
Mm-hmm. You already have your slot receiver.
You already had two slot receivers. Because there was very much a chance that, well, Curtis Samuel's going to get some snaps inside. KJ Hamler, if he sticks on the roster, would get snaps inside. You're going to take another one of them?
Curtis Samuel, I mean, he's going to essentially be your team's Debo Samuel. He's going to be doing both. He's going to be getting running reps.
Yeah.
On trick plays.
You have him. You already signed that player.
Yeah. That's why the whole Ladd McConkey take was also really frustrating to me, because why would you get another slot receiver and not someone who's going to be your X receiver,
you
like
needed
you said?
An X receiver.
Yeah, you needed a big guy who's going to be able to make contested catches. And the whole lazy route running, you haven't even seen him in a game. I don't want to hear any of that crap.
It may not be lazy. It may just be unpolished. And you know what you can fix? Technique.
Look at Josh Allen.
You know what you can't fix? That size.
Mm-hmm.
That ability to go up and get it.
Right.
Those are things that come naturally to a player. Like, of course, ready? Xavier Worthy's speed is a counterpoint to that. Mm-hmm. I'm willing to hear counterpoints. Why? Because that's the point of debates. That's the point of actual discussion. But I'm not going to hear this dismissive crap about Bills made a mistake letting Kansas City get a player. They didn't let them do anything. The Bills took something from Kansas City for them to make their decision.
Yeah.
On a player that the Bills weren't going to take anyway.
Mm-hmm.
The Bills grabbed a third round pick. If anything, they made the Chiefs pay to get their asset.
They did.
Which is better than every other team did this year.
Mm-hmm. The Bills put a check on their box.
The Bills got a piece of meat off of the bone for it.
They did. And somewhere where they needed it.
Ready? Say that this goes in the worst case Ontario, okay? say it goes the worst case scenario here of Xavier Worthy is exactly what everyone fears and becomes the next Tyreek Hill. If Dwayne Carter is a roster player within the next 3 years, like staying on the roster, that's more contribution than every other NFL team did. Oh, but the Bills traded that pick and let Kansas City get him. If the Bills didn't take Xavier Worthy, which is the only way to stop the Chiefs from taking Xavier Worthy, mm-hmm. there's the answer.
Right, and you're not helping your specific offensive scheme.
And you're not making your team better in the way you needed it to.
You're creating a position battle where it doesn't need to be. That's what you're doing.
You're grabbing a surplus good.
Yeah, where you had a need in a position that you filled.
All right, Dave and Tonawanda, welcome to Sports Talk Saturday.
Hey, thank you for taking my call, gentlemen. I was listening to the last show that was on here, and they were talking about the coach of the year. Now, with everything that's basically going on with the Bills and everybody basically sitting here stating that they don't think that the Bills are going to basically have a decent year this year because of the turnaround of players. If McDermott was to, out of nowhere, switch this team completely around and turn this team into what we all know this team can be, do you guys basically think that Coach McDermott can still be on that talk of Coach of the Year?
Yeah. Dave, I think that not only, but also based on the narratives, based on stories, because, like, here's the thing. Reporters love stories. That's what their background is.
I mean, they write stories, so.
They write stories. So when one's delivered to them on a silver platter, nice and shiny, Coach of the Year for Sean McDermott, maybe, if they get to 12 wins or more, that also means Josh Allen is probably being force-fed an MVP.
Yeah. No, you're absolutely right. Here's the thing. They win the division. They're a top three seed in the AFC after being laughed out pretty much and saying, hey, this team's nowhere near where they've been the past few years.
Right.
Aaron Rodgers is going to come off a speed bridge Achilles repair and actually take them down. And they do that. Both, for those awards, both of them are pretty much locks, yeah. I would say, at that point. Brian Daboll won with the Giants, and he just got to the playoffs. That's all it took, right?
Yeah.
And the narrative right now is the Bills
kind of roster, but no. Yeah, if they're say the two seed in the AFC
again, like last year, they beat the Dolphins, they beat the Jets, they beat the Patriots, and they actually win big games against the Texans, Kansas City.
They'll have to get there if they're going to get
you
to
have
like
to get
12
there.
Wins.
Yeah, you got to do that.
Like in order to get to those awards, they will have earned it.
Yeah,
that's the other point.
But I don't think it's an outlandish thought at all for McDermott to be coach of the year if that happens.
All right, we keep going here. Allie in Denver, welcome to Sports Talk Saturday.
Hey there, fellas. Thank you so much for having me on. I was listening this morning. I'm from Wyoming, and I'm driving up to go to a Wyoming game right now. So
nice.
I was listening to you guys, and I had to call in about the Xavier Worthy thing. So I'm a high school teacher. I teach in Denver. So a lot of Broncos fans, a lot of Chiefs fans, you know, just because of where we're located. And I have a policy of, like, if you're going to have, like, post-game debrief during class, you have to have, like, a serious, you know, well-thought-out sports take. Otherwise, like, I will shut it down immediately because, you know, they like to dunk on me for being a Wyoming fan. I mean, I'm from Wyoming, so, like, I'm a very loyal fan. And then, obviously, you know, love the Bills and this and that. And when I tell you yesterday the amount of unserious takes that were coming into my classroom about how the Bills were so stupid to let Xavier Worthy go and this and that, and I was like, I don't know if you've ever watched how our offense works. Do you know who we have on our? And I was just, I told the screener, I was like, it was the most unserious day of post game debrief from Thursday Night Football that I've ever had. And I just want to say that, like, people that are talking like that, like, you have the sports takes of my sweet angel 15-year-olds who don't read anything. Like, please be for real. Be for real. So when you were talking this morning, I was like, heck yeah. Like, that was my entire day yesterday. Thank you for, you know, speaking the truth, because, like, some of the stuff that was coming out of their mouth, I was like, y'all are just wild. Y'all are wild.
Allie, I don't think I could have said it any better than the you have takes of these lovely high schoolers.
And, like, they're great. Like, we have a fantasy football league that a bunch of, like, the teachers, like, play in. And so they, like, bless their hearts. But it's like, have you ever read or paid attention to, like, scheme or, you know, the types of defenses that we face in our conference? Like, the idea of Xavier Worthy trying to go up against a Jets defense twice a year, like, he's going to get cooked. He's so small. And they were, yeah, anyways, I could go on and on. But had to call in. I appreciate you, spreading the good news here about the fact that Keon Coleman is going to be great and fine. So,
Allie, appreciate it. Enjoy the game there with Wyoming. And thank you for saying something that I never would have been able to be able to say myself there. That's top rope stuff right there.
Well, you can keep that in your back pocket from I'm a 10-year high school teacher, and that's about how serious that sports take is 15-year-old boys who don't read a whole lot. So feel free to re-rack that as you need.
All right, Allie, appreciate
that. Thank you.
Thank you for that call.
That's it.
That's ammunition right
and
there.
And here's the thing.
That's, you know what that is? That's like... So one of the best games I've ever played was Uncharted 2.
Okay.
And you have to fight a tank. And constantly you have to, like in this fight with this tank, you have to dodge the fire and then pick up one-by-one RPGs to fire at this thing and actually take it down.
Yeah, it's just...
That's what that was.
Mm-hmm.
Allie's take was one of those RPGs that's going to take that tank down.
Yeah. No, you're right. And a loyal Wyoming fan, right? Assuming she's seen all of Josh Allen's glory years there, right?
Yes.
What you said, you can coach Keon Coleman's route running, right? You can
coach technique.
Coach technique. Josh Allen is the best example of that. From Wyoming
was technically
to where
mass.
He is now. He was Brett Favre times 100. He was just ripping it out there, right? He came out of college with under 60% completion percentage. And like, look at him now.
Anyone that plays college football 25 right now?
That's how I play quarterback. Like, I throw 500 yards a game, but it's 8 picks. Like, that's just what happens. That's what happens.
Exactly. So
it technique can be coached, but Josh Allen's the best example of what could come for Keon Coleman, not position-wise, but player-wise.
And again, the main crux of this still remains. I don't care what Keon Coleman turns into.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care what Xavier Worthy turns into. I don't care what Dwayne Carter turns into.
Right.
I do care, because I will be very petty about that.
Yeah, yeah. You'll just hold that over everyone's
However,
head.
The main point of this is, if a National Football League general manager ever thinks the way that comment is presented, get fired yesterday from your front office job.
Yeah, literally. You're thinking like a fantasy manager. You were an NFL general manager.
Yeah.
Like, that's ridiculous.
That's exactly what this is.
I mean, you're absolutely right, though. Allie's take. Bunch of 15-year-old high schoolers.
Yes.
That's what they're saying. That's awesome.
Get in on the Worthy Wars. 803-0550 is the number to call. Derek Kramer, Joe Callie Evans on the board. You're listening to WGR.